Oh, yes. Yes, that's your answer. That's your answer to everything.
Tattoo it on your forehead. Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences. The bomb's lost. My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir. The bombs will always lose. Do you hear me, Lebowski? The...
Number two of Overtime coming at you live on your Friday. One more hour until it is the weekend. Tanner and Tucker with you up until 8 o'clock here. 865-546-8200 is your number if you would like to hop on the program with us. 546-8200. We kick off this hour with some breaking news. While the ACC and the Big 12 are going to wait until the end of the month to make their decisions regarding schedules, and the SEC hasn't had an announcement yet. Nicole Auerbach, who had the scoop for the Big Ten's announcement yesterday that they are going to conference-only schedules, just a few minutes ago tweets out, per sources, the Pac-12 is expected to announce today that it is going to play a conference-only slate of games for all sports this fall. Her and Bruce Feldman breaking this story. So
another domino.
Another domino out in the Pacific 12.
Don't they pretty much just play each other as it is? No, that's the Big 12 plays mostly just themselves.
Well, no big Pac-12 out of conference matchups. That means Alabama-USC is officially axed.
Officially done.
Can you look up any other like Pac-12 out of conference matchups?
Yeah, I got you.
Outside of whoever they were going to play in the Big Ten. Because I'm going to assume there's a fair amount of them.
Yeah, I can figure it out. Just give me a minute.
But yeah, here's a second domino. This was something that was supposed to happen yesterday, if you remember. Auerbach also had the tweet in the report that the Pac-12 was going to announce the same thing yesterday. She kind of walked that back a little bit, but this was something that's not going to take people by surprise. They're just waiting a day after the Big Ten made their announcement to make theirs. Pac-12 going to conference only this fall. And again, no announcement so far has impacted Tennessee.
Nope.
As of right now, which it will be different. I mean, yeah. It's just going to be different. As of right now, Tennessee's still expected to play the full 12-game regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Big 12's not made an announcement. There's not been an announcement from the SEC and... Conference USA, where Charlotte plays, and Sun Belt, where Troy plays, they have not made announcements either. Do we have any matchups?
I'm still scrolling through here. It's a lot of... I'm seeing a lot of Big Ten Pac-12 games.
Which those weren't happening.
Yeah,
anyway,
those are already
yesterday.
A&M Colorado. That's done.
They don't get to play. That's an old, Big 12 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Never would have thought as a kid seeing Colorado play Texas A&M in the Big 12. Never thought one day it'd be a non-conference matchup with Colorado in the Pac-12 and Texas A&M in the SEC.
Yeah. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. Conference realignment, crazy. So
I wonder if Stanford and Notre Dame. I guess Stanford-Notre Dame's done.
Yeah, that means it's done.
It's done.
Poor Notre Dame, man. They're going to have to try to fill up as many games with ACC teams as possible.
Pretty much.
This is what they get, though. This is what they get for being independent elitist and
join a conference,
hanging on to that NBC contract.
Yep.
It's what you get. It's going to bite you in the ass eventually.
I mean, a lot of these out-of-conference games are, you know, the same way we're, like, Charlotte and, you know, like, smaller schools that aren't Power 5. Utah State. Iowa. Not Iowa. Is that Illinois? The Vandals. Who's the Vandals?
That's Idaho.
Idaho.
Idaho's an FCS.
Okay, well, they're not playing them. Port State. Like, just a bunch of smaller schools. No big Power 5s I can see. San Diego State.
What about them?
Oh, they're in the...
Yeah, they're Group of Five. They're Mountain West.
Yeah, they've got a game with UCLA.
I'm trying to see. I think, did the MAC make an announcement today as well? I thought they had an announcement as well. Maybe I saw something else, but it's all a matter of when decisions are going to come at this time, right?
Pretty much.
All right, well, there you have it. I mean, not a whole lot of analysis to give here because we've already been talking about a lot with the Big Ten, so we don't need to get into
it's the same thing, just different teams.
Yeah, same thing, different conference. I mean,
yep.
Whatever. Pac-12 basically already played by themselves outside their non-conference games in the first 2 weeks of the season because of Pac-12 After Dark. So,
yep.
You know what? As long as I can get my Pac-12 After Dark this year,
that's all we need.
I think I'll hang on. You know, one season, it being conference only, I can still.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll know it's still a somewhat normal college football season, Tucker, when I can pass out at like 11:30. On a football Saturday and wake back up at like 1:30 and there's Washington State playing Arizona.
Yeah, that was always the best. Is like it's always the best whenever I watch a bunch of football and it's over and I'm laying in bed. I'm a night owl, so I'm, you know, it's like 12:30, 1 in the morning, and I'm on my phone and I see a thing pop up on Twitter. It's like close game alert, and I'm like, oh shoot, I forget.
Pac-12 After Dark.
You just turn it on. It's a one score game with 4 minutes left in the fourth.
I think I had my favorite all time Pac-12 After Dark moment this last season.
Mm-hmm.
So of course I'm millennial. I still live at home. Whatever.
Yeah.
It was one weekend where my parents went camping, so I had the house to myself, just dog sitting. And when I do that, I'll usually sleep in my parents' bed, where I'll change the sheets, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, being you know, hygienic and everything, taking care of everything. But I'll pass out there with the dogs. And I did it for, I don't even know what day it was. I don't know if it was a Tennessee bye week or who we played that day.
Yeah.
But all I know is if we did play, we played earlier in the day, probably. So I was tired. I still had my TV on, just watching whatever the end of late games were. I passed out. I think I passed out the Star Washington State UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke back up in the first half and Washington State's just putting it on them.
Yeah.
I mean, just putting it on. I go to sleep again. I wake up and then I wake up in time to sit in bed at like 1:30 in the morning and watch UCLA make this massive comeback. Do you remember the game I'm talking about?
No, I don't. What year was this?
This was this season.
This was this past
2019.
Season?
I'll pull up the stats for
you.
Okay. Because UCLA, if you remember, they started out terrible.
They started out rough.
And, like, this is how they got their first win.
I think I do remember this now. Yeah.
I mean, it was the biggest fuel to the fire of people who don't like Mike Leach.
Yeah.
For the fact that they, Washington State could not stop anything. So this is September 21st.
I think I watched this game, too.
This is September 21st. Is that Florida? If that was Florida Day, I'd definitely gotten.
What day was it?
21st September.
Yes, that's
like Florida.
That's Florida. It always falls within that.
So I guess I was trying to forget it.
Yeah.
And then this game happened. So let me get you your replay by play here just to show you how much of a lead Washington State had. So, yeah. Washington State at one point, they had gotten up to a 49-17 lead.
Whew.
Sounds like a safe lead, right?
Yeah.
This was in the third quarter, by the way. This was 6:20.
Well, then it's not as safe, but...
This was in the middle of the third quarter.
Good God.
49-17. UCLA. I mean, it was just like punt return touchdown, just quick offensive touchdown. They ended up cutting it to 49-46.
Sheesh.
When was it? 49-46...
They go to overtime?
The end. Tucker, let me tell you how crazy this game was. So I told you it was 6:52 to go in the third quarter, and Washington State made it 49-17.
Yeah.
By 50 seconds left in the third quarter, it was 49-46.
That's the...
Stupid game.
Yeah.
Stupid game. Washington State scored again to make it a 10-point lead. You thought, okay, maybe they'll just cruise along. But no. No, 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 no. UCLA ended up winning 67-63 in regulation. Stupid game. Stupid game. I thought this was a game that Washington State's quarterback was going to break the single game touchdown record. He absolutely could have threw for like 11 touchdowns. He threw for 9.
God.
Anthony Gordon, he threw for 570 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Whew, that's a different game out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, you don't have to recruit defense. Who cares?
And that's why I like watching all the offense, but it got stupid.
Yeah, imagine being at Neyland and we win a close game where we have to score 67 points to win.
Imagine scoring 63 in regulation and losing.
Oh, God.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. But my point being that if I still can wake up at 1:30 and see games like this,
yeah,
this fall, I'll know it's still kind of normal.
Yeah, and it's the best because, I mean, it's that cherry on top of the game day, and it's just points. Points on points.
Hardly any of the games actually matter because there's only like two or three ranked Pac-12 teams
doesn't. Just bet the over.
Oh, easily.
And cheer for points.
Easily.
That's all you got to do.
What's Washington State going to do now that they're not running the air raid anymore?
Lose. Probably lose.
I mean, they weren't winning that much with Leach.
But lose more. So Mississippi State's going to be running the air raid? You think he's going to try to bring that offense over here? Or do you think he's going to try to adapt?
Have you been under a rock? Yes.
I mean, well.
That's what he does everywhere.
I mean, I know that's what he does.
No, it's the same thing. The same thing you have seen at Texas Tech and Washington State, Mississippi State will run it. It might be a disaster.
I was about to say, that's not.
No, he's going to do it.
I mean, he's going to do it, but I don't know if it'll work.
It's worked so far.
Yeah, but that's such a high risk, high reward offense. If you throw 3 picks in an SEC game, you lose.
I think Mississippi State knew what they were getting into when they hired him.
It's pretty much one of those, screw it, bet it all on black. If it hits, we win.
Again, this is why he's been hired by Texas Tech, Washington State, now Mississippi State. It's teams with not that much history.
Yeah.
What do we have to lose? You don't have a big-time winning tradition that you could screw up, so you might as well make it fun.
And you can't tarnish your legacy with weird press conferences. Who cares?
He's had some of the best. I will say Washington State had like a good tenure in the late 90s, early 2000s. They went to a couple Rose Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, since then, I mean, just pretty much all-time terrible football program. Mike Leach made them relevant. Mike Leach had them getting 9-10-win seasons, so that was fun. Same thing at Texas Tech, where they had basically next to no history all-time. And he gets them to almost number one in the country. He gets them in the national conversation. And that same track record falls in the Mississippi State. He can do the same thing down there. I mean, keep in mind, Tucker, Mississippi State was number one in the country in 2014 for 5 weeks. I mean, it can be done. They're in the SEC.
They
just
did
like
have Dak,
else.
Though.
Well, I mean, who's to say that Mike Leach can't get a good quarterback?
That's true.
Mike Leach gets.
He is a really good offensive mind. I'm
very interested to see how he recruits going forward in the conference. What I am sure of, though, someone who knows a lot about Mike Leach's stomps and what he gets out of his players, he usually is the best with the players who are barely a 3-star. At Texas Tech and Washington State, they're like 2-stars. He gets the most out of players who are very, very much undervalued.
That is true. And in the SEC, even Mississippi State, the school and its notoriety and stuff like that kind of recruits for you. I mean, even, you know, Vandy probably gets guys that could go, you know, anywhere else. But, hey, Vandy's an SEC school, and they offered them, let's go to Vandy. Pretty much that kind of thing. So even Mississippi State has that kind of pull. I wonder what he can do with actually top-tier guys.
I mean, hell, you talk about Vanderbilt. James Franklin, you can recruit to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, exactly. So
you can recruit to anywhere in the SEC. You just have to have the right sales pitch. And it's, don't get me wrong, it's much harder to recruit to Mississippi State than, I would say, besides Arkansas right now.
Yeah.
Anywhere else in the West is easier to recruit to.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about Starkville, Mississippi.
Yeah, there's nothing.
I think a top 5 restaurant out there is a Denny's.
Slam a stadium in Granger County, you have Starkville.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's your campus.
They somehow put a big, important agricultural institution out there that's done a lot of good, but they just didn't build a real city around it.
No, there's no draw.
It's Jefferson City, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
that might be paying a compliment.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, it's got to be tough. But Mike Leach is an eccentric guy. I think it is quite the experiment, you know, to see if that will work.
I need there to be a season this year because I need an egg bowl between him and Kiffin. Not just because of the personalities. I think that game could be in the 50s in regulation.
Yeah, they're both just offense. Score points.
I can't wait.
It'll be a good game. Yeah.
I have some more stats here from that UCLA-Washington State game before we go to the phones, just to give you an idea. So total offense, Washington State 720 yards, UCLA 657. Both quarterbacks passed for over 500 yards.
That's ridiculous.
They each exactly had 150 yards rushing.
So exactly.
So for Mike Leach's team to have 150 yards rushing is pretty good.
That is pretty solid.
Pretty good. Here's what killed Washington State. So they scored 63 points while turning the ball over six times. If they don't turn the ball over six times, they probably easily might score 80 the way UCLA was letting them score. But they just kept turning the ball over.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. That won't work in the SEC.
No, and it could. I'm thinking he's going to take some lumps this year.
Yeah, they're probably going to go, what do you think?
If we have a
4-10.
Well, if we have a 10-game SEC schedule, Mississippi State,
3-7.
3-7, probably.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough. The first year of his system is always rough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about the passing version of, let's say, you hire a new coach, and after a decade of running a pro-style offense and a spread, you go to flex bone triple option running at 90% of the time. This is the passing version of that.
Yeah.
It's radical. It's just as radical as hiring Paul Johnson to install a flex bone.
Yeah.
It's just almost the same type of concept.
It's the exact same thing. It's just an extreme. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether you're all run or all pass. I don't know if it'll work. But we'll see.
I kind of hope it does for the entertainment factor.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
I want him in this conference, in his press conferences, as long as possible.
Yeah, me too.
All right, let's go over these phone lines on this Friday, Tucker. Who do we have?
We got Moondog.
Moondog, what is up, my man?
Not much. Hey, listen, guys. First and foremost, I've got an imitation, and I want you guys to tell me if it's any good or not, because if it is, I'm going to call the drive.
Okay.
And I'm going to try it on Russell.
Okay.
Tell me who I am. Okay, close your eyes.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
What is lined up, y'all?
Ah, that's the mayor. It's the mayor of South Knoxville.
I've been working on my Philly impersonation. What is lined up, y'all? Now, of course, I can do Russ. What is lined up, fella? But anyway, it could be a perfect storm in the in the Mississippi State thing. I'm just saying, I mean, you got a kid that wants to play in the SEC, wants to be a quarterback, wants to go to the NFL. I mean, you get to play SEC competition, you get to throw the ball, 50 times a game?
Yeah.
Mike Leach won't have any trouble getting quarterbacks to come, I don't think. And I mean, it's like you guys were saying before I came on, if he gets some 5-star kid that just wants to throw the ball all over the yard, good grief. I mean, you're going to play in the SEC, and you're going to throw the ball a bunch, and you're going to get to play against Alabama and LSU and all those teams every year. And if you can light them up, you've written your ticket to the league. That's the only thing about that is Leach better, by golly, get a good defensive coordinator, or it won't matter how many points he scores.
Hey, you know that's what really helped him at Washington State, and that was a big deficiency last year where he lost Alex Grinch to Oklahoma. He finally found a really, really good defensive coordinator who did more than just call a defense. He actually was good at calling the defenses. He lost him, and you saw how he kind of regressed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you did. And, I mean, the Egg Bowl, the Lane Train versus the Pirate. I mean, come on, guys. That's going to be on TV. ESPN's going to want that one. I mean, that'll be an 8 o'clock game.
I mean, that's if we do have a football season this year, we're going to conference only. If everything else stays the same, you know that's a Thanksgiving game, right, Moondog?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's prime time. I mean, that's the only college football game on Thanksgiving. So
that's rivalry week.
Yeah, all the eyes will be on that one.
Right, right, and it's like I said, I got two more things real quick, and I'll hop off here. It's like I said when I called the Blitz earlier today, you got a bunch of people in our society, you know, instant gratification. I want what I want when I want it, but they want to whine around about not putting the mask on, you know. Put the dang thing on. It's for public safety. It's not a political statement. It's not communist. It's not anything. It's just public safety. So So I just want to encourage everybody, put the dang thing on. I mean, you know, I obviously know that, like, you know, Steve Carp and Westchester, those guys, you can't tell them anything, and they're not going to. But if we could get everybody but, like, those two to get on board and then just get them to stay at home, I think we'd be good. So I just encourage everybody. It's not for you. It's you're protecting others. So it's very, you know, I take it pretty seriously. And last thing tonight, boys, I'm not going to be having silver bullets. Tonight we're doing the Budweiser Nitro Reserve.
Nice.
Yeah, so anyway.
Is this the first time you've had that Moondog?
Yes, I haven't tasted one yet. Tonight's going to be my first time.
Yeah, you told me a while back you wanted to try it. Let us know sometime next week. Let us know.
I'll let you know. You guys have a great weekend. Take care and stay safe.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Moondog.
Appreciate the call, Moondog.
Have a good one.
Always love hearing from the Moondog.
Oh, yeah.
I got curious, and I wanted to see I wanted to remember who Mike Leach's defensive coordinator is going to be this year. He might have found another Alex Grinch from what I see here. So he's got a 33-year-old dude.
Who? Okay.
Zach Arnett. He's going to be defensive coordinator. Zach Arnett has been the DC and the linebackers coach at San Diego State the last two seasons. Just looking at, and I get when you look at what makes a good offense defense, you have to look beyond what points they scored or allowed. Just looking at the points, however, looks like, I mean, last year especially, nobody scored more than no one put up more than 23 points on San Diego State last season.
Wow.
It's pretty good. They got some weird scores last year. They opened up their season facing Weber State, the number 6 team in the FCS. They beat Weber State 6-0. I bet that was a terrible game.
Wow.
I bet that was a terrible
game. Yeah, you couldn't pay me to go to that one.
They beat UCLA in the Rose Bowl. Held UCLA to 14.
Wow.
That same team that put 67 on lead.
Sheesh.
Pretty damn good.
Okay, yeah, this guy seems pretty good.
Held
Central Michigan
to 11 points in the bowl game.
Where was he at before San Diego State? Was that his first job? He's only 33.
Let's see. He's not had a lot of stops. So,
I mean, I'm sure he was an assistant somewhere.
He played linebacker at New Mexico from 05 to 08. It's only San Diego State. He was a GA for three seasons, a linebacker's coach for four seasons, and then linebacker's coach, defensive coordinator.
He came out hot.
And now he's in the SEC. You know who else? I'm looking at the staff. Look at this. The outside. Who is this? Okay, this just tells you all about the error rate. He has an outside receivers coach. You don't just have a wide receivers coach in the error rate. His outside receivers coach, though, is Steve Spurrier Jr.
What?
He's got the son of the head ball coach.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know his son was coaching.
I know he's been around. I didn't know exactly what he was doing. I don't know who the hell the rest of these guys are, though.
Huh.
But, yeah, I want to see his defensive coordinator. Okay, Mike Leach valuing defense.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if that guy's really, really as good as he seems.
Hey,
I'll
leave this segment with this talking about Leach, and I want to respond to Moondog with this. Now we know Leach has got a whole lot out of the very lower rated talent when it comes to the ranking systems.
Yeah,
he mentioned if you do get a 5-star guy on
your
offense,
does he have a 5-star quarterback?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, okay.
But I'm imagining if he did.
Oh, it'd be ridiculous.
Or if he got a 5-star wide receiver. Like, I really want to see what he can do with the blue chip talent. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I mean, if he can, I about said draft, if he can recruit a good quarterback and just draft speed. If he can just get some speed.
I mean, it's speed and the ability to
run
your routes and catch the ball.
Well, yeah, but
especially like shorter routes, because that's what his offense is. I mean, it's a whole lot less throwing it deep and more of we're just going to chop away at you 7-8 yards at a time. That's more what his offense is.
The Brady method.
The Michael Thomas method.
The Michael Thomas method for
Slants.
Sure. Yep.
All right. Well, did not think that would go to Mike Leach talk, but it's always entertaining when it does, though.
That's one thing he knows.
I'm a fan of the Pirate. I don't care.
Love him.
Unapologetic. I'm glad he's at a place to where we will barely ever have to play him, if at all.
Yeah.
So I can cheer him on for afar. You know what? It may work out better that he's at Mississippi State versus if the UT powers that be would have let John Curry. hire him.
Yeah.
And they would have had the first of many beers together.
I would much rather watch that experiment from afar.
Yeah. Because I would hate to have to turn on Mike Leach.
Yeah, I don't.
It hurt my soul. That's my favorite coach.
Yeah.
Absolutely hurt my soul.
Yeah.
All righty. I just need football so bad. I need Pac-12 after dark. Yeah. I need Mike Leach in Starkville.
We're getting close, man.
That's what I need, man. That's what I need. Make the best decision. Give us some type of football.
That's what we need.
Back with more overtime after this. 865-546-8200 is our number if you would like to get on the show. And we're just cruising along this hour number two. It might get more weird as we come back. It is Friday. It does get weird.
It does get weird.
We shall see. Back after this.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief.
Back on overtime as we cruise along in hour number two. So I saw the videos of J.R. Smith from the bubble in Orlando. They I don't know if this was some type of oversight because they weren't expecting him, but in J.R. Smith's room, they didn't even give that man a blanket.
They didn't even give him a blanket?
He has, on his bed, he has pillows and like the base sheet that goes over the mattress, and that's it. He has nothing to cover his body with, and you're in this bubble environment. It's not like you can just run out to the store and like get something, and it's not like,
oh my God.
I would assume calling the room service and calling the front desk and saying, hey, give me some sheets. It might be a little more difficult.
Yeah, probably. I wonder how many employees are actually in that hotel.
That's a good question.
Are they bubbled?
I mean, I can't. If you're in there, you're bubbled. You're like committed.
How much would you have to be paid? If you're a Disney hotel employee and they say, okay, the NBA is coming, we need you to stay in this bubble till the finals are done. We need you to live in this hotel.
It's really not going to take that long.
It's like a month, right? Is it even a month? I mean, the plan. It'll be a month.
Well, they want to end everything by early October, right?
I think,
like,
that's
they
what
want to have
it,
the finals go seven games and want to be done by early October.
Yeah, it was like October 13th, 12th. Yeah, so at the latest,
that's 3 months. And oh, I'm thinking, how much?
I mean, pay me double.
Well, what are some stipulations? Can I?
You can't leave.
Well, you can't leave, obviously, but like NBA players are bringing some, like their wives and some of their kids with them.
Yeah.
I think you're limited in how many you can bring. If I had like a wife or a girlfriend, could she stay with me? If I'm allowed that, that takes some off my price. Because
that's
true. If I can't do that, if it's just me by myself, solitary, with me and NBA players and my coworkers for 3 months.
For 3 months.
Since we're talking hypotheticals, I don't want to think about how much a Disney hotel employee makes, like hourly.
Yeah, that's...
So I'm saying pay me a base rate of 3 months.
Because you're still working throughout the day. And then staying and just going to your hotel room.
$50K too much?
Probably too much.
20.
$20K, depending on how many they have for 3 months, that's...
I mean, I'm... You got to think. I think $20K is a fair price, even if some people think that's too much. Because here's the thing. I'm a cog in the machine, baby, that's trying to bring back one of America's most beloved sports.
Yeah, the NBA may kick in with that. Yeah.
I mean, the NBA's got so much money. They're getting all this money from China. I mean...
Yeah, that's $6,600 bucks a month. That's...
$20K. Give me $20K.
$20K, I'd do it. No question. Like, you wouldn't even have to... I wouldn't even negotiate.
Give me flat $20K.
Walked up to me and just said... $20,000, will you stay 3 months in this hotel?
You're not paying me hourly, just I get $20,000 when it's all said and done. I'm doing it.
When it's all said and done, give it to me up front. No, half now, half at the end.
That's a fair deal.
I wouldn't shake their hand because of Rona.
Of course.
But I would elbow bump them with gratitude.
Why are you really trying to cancel the handshake? Can't you just wash your hands?
Yeah.
What happened to just washing your hands?
Think about
how much germs you spread even before this. What makes this different? As long as you're not touching your face and eating food right after it.
I've been shaking hands.
Okay, well, as long as you're making sure you're staying clean.
Am I canceled now?
No, you're not.
I'm canceled. I shouldn't have said it.
I haven't stopped shaking hands.
Something good about it just makes it's official.
The high five's not going away. The handshake's not going away.
The high five is gone from the MLB.
That's so stupid. Well, it will come back next year.
Yeah.
So dumb. You're going to be shaking. You're going to be hugging people when this is over. Like, you're thinking way too much about this when you ask these epidemiologists and these scientists whose job is to err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, I don't think I'll ever shake someone's hand again. The general population is going to be going right back to that.
Yep.
Even during this thing, once these bars reopen, we're already on top of each other. What do you think is going to stop us when the vaccine's out?
Yeah, pretty much.
We're good. You're going back to normal. You're going to
shake. It'll go back to normal almost immediately.
What are you going to do in a post-COVID world when we all have this vaccine and it's behind us and you walk in for a job interview? Are you not going to shake the hiring manager's hand? You're going to say, oh, man, no, we went through Rona. I can't shake hands anymore for the rest of my life.
And they'll
say, you will not get the job.
Yeah, they'll turn around and they'll go, yeah, this guy's out. They'll in front of you, throw your application in the trash.
Yeah, they're going to whisper to someone else, like the fish from SpongeBob, this is a load of barnacles.
Yeah, pretty much.
Same thing.
I remember I had an interview, like, not long after this started, and the hiring manager, whatever, he was the one who was like,
elbows.
No, it was elbow, but no, it was even awkward. It was more awkward than that. He just kind of stood there and was like, I would shake your hand, but you know. And then I said, yeah. And then I stood there waiting for him to like either go for like a fist bump or an elbow bump, whatever he wanted to do. And he just kept looking at me and I was like, all right, I'll see you. And I just left with no, like
all
he
right.
wouldn't, yeah. He wouldn't even touch me. Wouldn't even come near me.
Oh, damn.
He sat like 10 feet away from me, and it was the weirdest interview ever. I didn't get that job, but I didn't really want it in the first place. It was just one of those.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But there's hand sanitizer. There's soap and water. Just.
Yeah. Wash your hands. It's easy.
You're not going to get Rona if you shake someone's hand. You're going to get Rona if you touch your face or something like that after it and you don't wash your hands.
Pretty much.
So dumb. Speaking of dumb things, let's go on and talk about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Dude.
This is bizarre.
So weird. So weird. I hate it.
I'm trying to set the stage here. You have been watching this more than I have. I just think everything is so weird and cringy. I can't bear myself to watch it.
Oh, it's ugh.
So apparently, Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith they almost ended their marriage.
Yes, they were on a break as Ross.
We
from
were
Friends.
On break.
Yeah, pretty much. That is what Jada Smith is saying right now.
This celebrity power couple, they came together for a special Friday edition of Jada Pinkett Smith's. Red Table Talk show on Facebook. I didn't even know she had her own show on Facebook.
Apparently, that makes more sense because I remember they had like their entire family on like a show a while back, and I was like, why are they all just hanging out talking? I didn't know it was her show.
So it's just these two in front of the whole world talking about their relationship and Jada Pinkett Smith's relationship with singer-rapper August Alsina, right?
Alsina, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that dude. According to the superstar couple, they were going through a very difficult time, according to them, and had broken up when Pinkett Smith started a romantic relationship with a 27-year-old singer.
Oh, as she called it, four times in a row,
entanglement. That's a new one.
He, like, visibly was getting more, like, in the video, he looks like a broken man. I feel really bad for him doing this. Like, he did not want to be there. He did not enjoy this conversation. But every time she said that, you could see it
just
boiling in him, just like, really?
Yeah, they were entangled, all right.
And then
were entangled in coitus.
Yeah, and at one point he goes, what is that? What is that word? And she was like, it was an entanglement. And he goes, well, it was a relationship.
I can't wait to start saying that in real life. Yeah, it was just an entanglement. I was entangled with this girl.
Yeah, it was just an entanglement. It's whatever. Say that to your boyfriend or girlfriend if you cheat on
them. That is so bad.
See what they say.
Is that going to be a new Facebook option?
You're in an entanglement. Yes, so-and-so updated their status, hey, too.
That's a way to get out buying your significant other a Christmas present or a Valentine's Day gift.
We're just in an entanglement. What are you talking about?
We're not that serious, girl. Yeah. You're wild.
You're crazy.
You're wild, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Entanglement. What the hell?
To just have this open conversation on camera about you... air quotes, cheating. I mean, technically, they were still legally married. They say that they thought they were done forever. They both thought that. They said that. But to have that conversation in front of cameras, in what looks to be like the first conversation they've had about it, just the way, I don't know. It was just super.
I also have this quote here. Will Smith, I'm pretty sure I can say this word. Will Smith coming off as a cuck, like a literal one right here.
A little bit.
When I read this quote. This is from August Alsina. By the way, he said, I actually sat down with Will and had a conversation. Due to the transformation from their marriage to a life partnership that they have spoken on several times and not involving romanticism, he gave me his blessing.
Yeah.
That's, wow, Will Smith, cuck? That's crazy.
Possible.
Never would have thought.
Well,
not the Fresh Prince.
Super weird, man.
Not Will.
Not Will.
Good Lord.
I just, man, it's the most uncomfortable. I don't know if you've watched the video.
I heard.
You heard the audio from when I was watching
it
earlier.
I do not want to look it up.
Have you seen a picture? Do they have pictures in that article you're reading?
They do. I see the scene.
The look on this man's face, like his eyes.
His soul's leaving him.
He looks rough. And I feel for him. But...
Apparently, there's been rumors they've been in an open marriage for a while.
Yeah, but those were like rumors. I don't know.
This seems like a lot more than a rumor, obviously.
Yeah, but the fact that they're having this conversation...
For the whole world to see, mind you.
If they're in an open relationship, it seems like it was her idea.
Yeah, usually if you're a couple like that, there's plenty of them. I mean, what adults do in their bedroom is their own business. But usually if it's an agreement like that, both... husband and wife, or wife, husband, whatever. It's got to be mutually agreed upon, right? This seems like Will kind of was forced into this. Kind of
pressured into this. It seems like one of those, this is what I want kind of things. And he, you know, is married to her and he cares about her. And he wanted to make her happy, I guess. I don't know. And dude, the look of just, you know the tweet, Stephen A. Smith, that just says pain?
Mm-hmm.
That was Will.
Or the Stephen A. Smith clip of him after the Knicks didn't get the number one pick in the draft lottery.
Yeah.
I'm having a very bad day!
Very
bad day!
That's Will. That's Will Smith's face. If you haven't seen Will Smith's face, look it up. It'll make you sad.
I never thought I would see Will Smith of all people and such.
He just looks like a broken man.
So emasculated like that.
Yeah.
Which might be a rough word for that, but...
Yeah, it just...
I'm looking at this man's face,
and
it's...
He just looks like he's cried for a while. Like, just his eyes. The eyes are the window to the soul, and his soul is tore up right now. And I feel for him. And she looked totally fine. She looked unbothered.
Look, I think this goes down to the fact that people with that much money, they just live differently than we do.
Yeah, completely. They're on a different universe.
I can't relate to all the money and the fame and the power that they have, and I certainly sure as hell cannot relate to something like this.
This is the rich people version of people on Facebook that you see arguing. Like, we're like, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend arguing.
Except these people have much, much more money.
Much more money, and they do it on a production set.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing, too, except this is produced literally by Facebook as a
literally,
TV show.
Literally.
I need to quit talking about this. Let's play the birthday game when we come back. We will have a called-in guest, by the way. It's not going to be Hayden Wallen this time. Will the Thrill Stevens, ladies and gentlemen, will be joining us via phone. Will versus Tucker, last birthday game of the week, taking you into your weekend. When we come back to wrap up overtime, you are listening to Fan Run Radio. All right, final segment of overtime for the week. The weekend is upon us. Before we play the birthday game and get Will Stevens in here, quick news item to talk about. It looks like, according to media in both Boston and throughout the ACC, Kara Lawson, Lady VFL, Kara Lawson, one of Pat Summitt's all-time greatest players, dominated the early 2000s. She is on the verge of becoming the next head coach of Duke women's basketball. She's going to be a peer to Coach K, apparently.
Wow.
And I go back when you were in the coaching search for after Holly Warlick left, and Lawson's name was floated around. A lot of people thought that might have been laughable because she was never an official coach up to that point.
Yep.
She was just an analyst. But immediately after that, she serves a season as the Kings media analyst after already doing great work for years for ESPN.
Yes.
And then, what's she done this past season? Assistant coach of the Boston Celtics. Not analyst, not some lower staff position. I mean assistant coach to an NBA team. Moving up very quickly.
Yeah, seems like some people think that she could be a great basketball mind. Seems that way.
It seems that way. And not to knock Kelly Harper.
Oh, no, not at all.
She's
doing great.
They were both championship-winning point guards for Pat Summitt. They both come from that same coaching tree. Kelly Harper's obviously coached women's college basketball for years leading up to this point.
Yes.
I'm just wondering now, I hope that Kara Lawson doesn't make UT look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that if Harper doesn't work out that much and Kara Lawson does something great at Duke, which Duke has a good pedigree as a women's program, too.
Yes.
Not to the level of, I don't even think they've won a national championship, but they've had really good success at women's basketball, too.
Yeah.
That would be something. I'm already going to guarantee you if Kelly Harper doesn't work out, if she doesn't work out, Kara Lawson's probably going to be name numero uno on the list, but good for her to move up that quickly, though, from an analyst working for ESPN. You pay your dues, working for the Kings. The Boston Celtics immediately take an interest in you, hire you as an assistant coach. One of the only few females to serve in a role like that at the time. And now, all of a sudden, on the verge of being the head coach at Duke.
Yeah. I hope she does great, but I hope Kelly Harper does better.
That's the hope.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is the hope. All right, but that being said, so we got a phone call to get to later, but before we get to that, let's get Will Stevens on here, Tucker. It is time to play the birthday game. Tucker versus Will is about to happen, but first and foremost, Will the Thrill, how are you, my man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to y'all, too. Thank you for having me back to beat Tucker.
Okay. Whoa. Okay, Will. I'll hang you up right now. That's bold talk for the guy, talking to the guy who controls the phones here.
Yeah, but I'm still 2-0.
2-1?
2-1. 2-1.
Yeah. Winning record, though, Tucker. He's got you there.
He does have me there.
And, Will, by the way, sir, I am prepared today, so you can't make no smart-ass tweets after the show is over at me.
actually, wait, no. Will, you're not 2-1. We're both 1-1, and Tanner...
You know what?
Tanner's...
Again, bold talk, Tucker.
And Tanner lost.
Bold talk, Tucker, towards the person who can decide if you win or lose.
We're both on the same page here. You could...
I'm 1-1-1.
Yes,
I can just walk off the show right now. I mean, nothing's actually stopping me from getting
me
my
and
car
Will would just finish the
and,
show
and buying some beer and just starting my weekend early, which I'm going to do that anyway.
You do
I
that.
Might start 10 minutes early.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys are jerks. Guys are just complete jerks. Let's get to the game today. We have five birthdays to get to. A good best 3 out of 5 on this July the 10th. Is everyone ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty, here we go. Birthday numero uno. She is 48 years old today. She is a Colombian American actress.
Sofia Vergara.
Is Sofia Vergara. And a model as well. Sofia Vergara, 48, still smoking. Smoking. Most known in America, of course, for her role on Modern Family.
And shampoo commercials.
Oh, yeah, she's doing the Head and Shoulders ones now, right?
Sure.
I'm just wondering. I know I've seen that. It's like her and her son.
Yes, I think so.
I think so. Anyway, Sofia Vergara, smoking hot, 48 years old. Happy birthday. Will on the board first. Next birthday, 32 years old today. He is an NFL wide receiver who is...
Michael Thomas.
Not Michael Thomas. This one is still currently a free agent. He last played for the Patriots last season.
Antonio Brown.
It is Antonio Brown. The very problematic Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I would like a more simpler offseason instead of all the COVID talk. Remember last year, mostly what we talked about was Antonio Brown and all his drama. Simpler times.
Was that even last year?
That was last year.
That was last year, okay.
When he was a Raider.
Okay. did he get arrested? That was this year he got, like, well, the cops went to his house this year, right?
I feel like that might have been at the start of this year.
I was about to say, because I was doing this show for sure.
Off the field controversy. January 13th.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
January.
Doesn't that feel like forever ago?
Yeah, a lot's changed since then.
Yeah.
32 years old, Antonio Brown. We are tied at one. Next up, he would have been 164 today. He's been gone for a minute, of course. He was a Serbian-American inventor, electrical engineer.
Edison.
Nikola Tesla.
Will got it. Yeah. As Thomas Edison, not Serbian.
That is true.
Nikola Tesla.
You said he was an American? I didn't know.
Serbian-American. Yeah.
I didn't know he came over. I didn't know that.
He did. He died in New York.
Okay.
Done New York.
So that's what threw me off was the Serbian American. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I thought Edison was Serbian.
Tesla, best known for his contributions to the design of the modern alternating current or AC electrical supply system, and of course he's got some nice electric cars named after him now too.
Yeah.
Shout out to Elon. All right. Will takes the lead 2-1. Will get the dub period if he gets one of these next two. 2-1 lead for Will. Next up, she is 40 today. She hit the big 4-0. This makes me feel very old that she is now 40.
Britney Spears.
Not Britney Spears. But, however, this person is an American singer, actress, and fashion designer. She, I don't know what she's really more known for. Like, she has a music career. I will say that she became known for her relationship and later marriage to Nick Lachey. They had an MTV reality TV show together called Newlyweds between 2003 and 2005. She was known for making a very dumb blonde comment about tuna, about chicken of the sea. I don't know that's ringing a bell or anything.
Was 2 and 3.
Thank you. I know, but I don't know if you would... Anyone can access the internet, Will. Don't be a smartass. Maybe you would have saw something about it. She made her film debut in The Dukes of Hazzard.
Jessica Simpson.
Yes, Jessica Simpson.
Big fan of that Dukes of Hazzard movie.
I still don't remember if I liked it or not.
It's good. It's pretty funny.
It's definitely more vulgar than the actual Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, incredibly! You seen that movie, Will?
Yeah. I feel really, really stupid for pleading youthful ignorance. I know that quote now. As soon as you said Jessica Simpson,
I don't know the quote, so.
I
know her from the Dukes of Hazzard.
I definitely remember it, yeah. But also...
She left an imprint on 8-year-old me that movie.
All right, calm down. All right. Final birthday, gentlemen. Here we go. Winner take all. Today, this NFL wide receiver turns 23 years old.
Juwan Jennings.
It is the dog, Juwan Jennings.
Will studies.
Happy birthday, dog.
Will saw Twitter, because it was all over Twitter today.
Well, some people work.
Yeah.
You had a lunch break.
Bro,
I'm going to see all of Twitter.
The fan run lawn today.
I did see that.
I work.
Will, you did miss some spots, I will say.
Yeah.
You mowed the lawn here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm sunburned.
He kind of didn't try to get near the sidewalk, but...
Who cares?
There was cars parked.
It does look mostly better, Will. Good job.
Thanks.
Good job out there in the blazing sun. You definitely earned this victory today by also mowing our yard.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Well, Will, we got to get to these phone calls, man. Enjoy your dub and have a good weekend.
Heard. I appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
All right. Let's get Will off here and let's end the week, Tucker. Let's go talk to Roger. We haven't talked to Roger in a few days. Roger, what's up, buddy?
How y'all doing tonight?
Doing good.
Buddy, doing fantastic. What you got for us?
Well, I was going to ask you how much time do I have?
Oh, you got about a minute, buddy.
All right. I just want to ask you real quick, Tanner. Tanner, I just want to ask y'all about the. I just want to keep you all about. I'm not sure. I know Ben there at the game, so I just want to ask you: is what the? I know Tanner. I know that there's a lot of stadiums allowed. Which one do you think is off your bending up and all? But to you, what's the loudest SC venue that you've been to? It's louder, more loud in an energy. Which one do you think is more loud?
Yeah, loud Roger. Hey, appreciate the phone call, buddy. Have a good weekend. But I can't really speak to other SEC stadiums because Neyland's the only SEC stadium I've been to.
Yeah.
I will say, though, as far as loudness goes,
probably Death Valley.
It used to be Neyland, but, man, recently it has been Death Valley. It has been LSU. Neyland still – if Neyland wants to be loud, it's –
Neyland can get up.
It's Neyland and Tiger Stadium 1A, 1B.
Pretty much.
Like, I'm talking Oklahoma 2015. That's louder than Tiger Stadium has been in the last few years.
Yeah, the loudest I've seen Neyland was Florida 2016. That's the loudest game I've been to.
Kyle Field, A&M, they get loud because they're cultists.
Mississippi State gets an asterisk because of the cowbells, but I'm sure they're loud.
Alabama, not loud.
Alabama not. Have you been to Bama?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have, but like I hear on TV, like yeah. They sell their hands most of the time, man.
Yeah. Vandy, really loud.
Yeah.
Tennessee fans, we get down there, we get loud.
Neyland West
is very loud. Kroger Field, silent.
They blow a coal whistle.
Nerds.
What an awful place.
Bunch of losers.
Kroger Field. Yeah, it's Neyland Tiger Stadium.
Pretty much.
Back in the day, the Swamp could get loud.
Yeah.
But Florida doesn't have a lot of fans that go there anymore.
No.
They've been missing some seats recently. They've done better than we have in football.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Neyland Tiger Stadium. Samford can get loud.
Yeah, can get. I mean, it was really loud in 2016 when we caught the Hail Mary.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I will say top three. I'll say one, Death Valley, two, Neyland when it wants to, and three, Kyle Field.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what we'll go. Another week's in the books, Tucker.
We did it.
Thank you for another fantastic week on the board. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope everyone listening has a great weekend. Stay safe, and we will see you Monday for more Overtime.